Let's get right on board the G&M Family Market phone line and talk some Stanley Cup playoff hockey as we're joined by Mike Halford of NBC Sports Pro Hockey Talk. Mike, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
What's been for you the biggest surprise of the postseason so far?
It probably goes hand in hand with the biggest narrative of the Stanley Cup playoffs so far, and that's the Washington Capitals once again crashing out in the second round of the playoffs. Maybe it's not a big surprise because this is what the Capitals do, but I and a lot of people genuinely thought that this was going to be the year. Dating back to the trade deadline when they made the biggest acquisition out of any team by getting Kevin Shattenkirk, and it just seemed like all things were pointing their way, especially when they took games 5 and 6 of this series against Pittsburgh. I thought they had really figured things out. Pittsburgh defense was decimated after losing Chris Letang. They lost Trevor Daley. It looked like the Capitals had figured out Marc-Andre Fleury. They were getting Game 7 at home at the Verizon Center, so everything was trending in the right direction for the Capitals to finally get over the hump. And then they lay an egg in Game 7, and it was a shock to me because I thought this was actually going to be different. But in the end, it wasn't. And now in Washington, they face a massive, massive offseason filled with a lot more questions than answers. And I don't think this team is going to come back looking very similar to the one that just got bounced by the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Who do you think has done the best coaching job in the NHL this year?
That's a good question. I like what Peter Laviolette's done in Nashville. And a lot of it has to do with changing the style of that team. For the longest time, the Nashville Predators as an organization were known as defense first, play it tight to the vest. Led by the likes of Ryan Suter and Shea Weber and when Dan Hamhuis was there. But Laviolette's really preached a more fast, up-tempo style, and the Predators can really outskate a lot of teams in the league. And it has to do with the back end now with Subban and with Yossi leading the charge, very mobile defenseman. But it's across the board, especially up front. They're young and they're fast, and they can really beat you with a north-south game. And that's different from what we've seen throughout the history of the Predators franchise. And I think Laviolette deserves a lot of credit for coming in, for implementing that style, and then for executing it and getting them to the first ever Western Conference final in franchise history.
A couple of Game 7s, and I noticed that somebody asked you on social media for your favorite Game 7 of all time, and you went back a couple decades.
Yeah, I went to 1996, actually, and it was Steve Yzerman then, with the Detroit Red Wings. Now, of course, he's the general manager in Tampa Bay. But Yzerman's double overtime goal in Game 7 against the St. Louis Blues. And the reason I picked that one was, sometimes people forget that in the 96 playoffs, the big acquisition for the St. Louis Blues at the trade deadline was Wayne Gretzky. That was the very short-lived era of Wayne Gretzky as a St. Louis Blue. And they pushed the Red Wings right to Game 7. It was the only goal in that game that Yzerman scored, the double OT winner. And, it's been promoted so many times by the NHL since. It's that really long slap shot from just outside the blue line. You get John Casey turning his shoulder and watching it go on the net. And then you got Yzerman just jumping up and down in euphoria. So it was a really great visual. And it's always stood out for me. This despite the fact that there's been about a billion really good Game 7 moments. Yzerman beating the Blues was always right up there.
We haven't even started the offseason yet for everybody, but it looks like the Buffalo Sabres have made the first big move of that offseason by getting a big win, it would look like, here as general manager.
Yeah, Jason Botterill's been literally moments ago introduced as the new general manager in Buffalo, taking over for the recently fired Tim Murray. It's an interesting hire. Botterill is the second youngest GM in the NHL now. He's only 40 years old. He's a former player. He's actually a former Buffalo Sabre. He spent a couple years there. He's got an MBA from the University of Michigan. He's worked on a lot of different front office roles. Most recently, he was Jim Rutherford's assistant GM in Pittsburgh, and he was also the GM of their AHL team. Now, why that's important is because he was the guy that hired Mike Sullivan to be the head coach of the AHL team for Pittsburgh, and then Sullivan, halfway through that year, jumped up to take the head coaching job in Pittsburgh and led them to the Stanley Cup. So Botterill's got a really good resume. The only knock, really, is that he's inexperienced as a full-time, like the big boss, the head honcho, the clear-cut GM. He's always worked as an assistant. But, Buffalo wanted to get a guy that had ties to the organization. They wanted to get a young, up-and-coming executive. So they checked a lot of boxes by hiring Botterill.
We're talking with Mike Halford, Pro Hockey Talk, NBC Sports. And, let's look at the conference finals and start with the East. How do you size up this matchup between the Senators and the Penguins?
I mean, this is another reason that the Capitals are kicking themselves, is because I think a lot of people are looking at this and saying, really, Ottawa is in the Eastern Conference Final? I mean, the road through the East, really, this is wide open. No disrespect to the Ottawa Senators, but they were the only team in the NHL playoffs to qualify with a negative goal differential. They are probably on paper the weakest or one of the weakest teams to have qualified for the postseason. They've ridden the outstanding play of Erik Karlsson and some very good goaltending from Craig Anderson to, you know, register these first two wins in the opening two rounds. But at the end of the day, the Senators are not a powerhouse team. And I look at Pittsburgh, and yes, Pittsburgh's got some major deficiencies on defense, but Pittsburgh also has Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin and Phil Kessel, and they're getting great goaltending from Marc-Andre Fleury. Not just good goaltending, great goaltending. And if he should falter, Matt Murray's healthy now. So I think Pittsburgh's headed back to their second Stanley Cup final. You know, the only wild card I'll throw out there is Karlsson has shown the ability to take a series over. He'll have to do it unlike we've seen before. Like, he'll have to really take this series over if Ottawa's to advance.
All right, and out west, what do you think of Anaheim and Nashville?
You know, I've picked against Nashville twice now, and I regretted it because I think I've underestimated just how talented this team is and the level in which they're playing right now. I actually think that it's going to become a speed game. For everything that Anaheim has going for it, they are not especially fast, and they got pushed to the limit in that seven-game series against Edmonton because Edmonton had the young, fast legs, the Connor McDavids, the Leon Draisaitls, guys that could really skate. And I think that at the end of the day, speed is going to be the difference. It's going to play to Nashville's advantage. And I do see them getting to the first Stanley Cup final in franchise history.
News on a couple of former Maine Black Bears out there. Let's start a story you did on our old friend Ben Bishop, who is headed to Dallas, where he's got a pretty good built-in relationship.
Yeah, this is going to be interesting. Ben Bishop got his career started professionally in the St. Louis Blues organization, and he actually got called up to the Blues when Ken Hitchcock was the head coach there. So they're pretty familiar with one another. And obviously that played a big reason into why the Dallas Stars went out and traded to get his negotiating rights. Now, everything sounds like this is going to be a done deal. Bishop still needs to sign a contract, but apparently he put forth a trade list. Dallas was on that list. He sounded super excited about getting to join a team that he kind of compared to his old Tampa Bay team. And he liked the built-in relationship that he had with Hitchcock. So all signs point to this thing getting done and Bishop being the number one there. The real question will be is this relationship good enough to kind of put all the questionable relationships that Hitchcock has had with his old goalies in the past? Because remember, all the other guys that Hitchcock had with the Blues, they all kind of ran afoul of one another. So it's going to be really interesting to see the Bishop-Hitchcock dynamic play out.
And Paul Kariya, who's stayed away from hockey for a while, has maintained a pretty low profile, but apparently was back and visible. That was interesting news.
Yeah, this is. I wrote about this back in March when Timu Salane came out and sort of said that, you know, Korea's really taken a step back from hockey in general, but he still lives in the Anaheim area, and the Ducks would love to somehow get him back in the mix because they, you know, they're in the process now where they've been around long enough that they're retiring jerseys. So they retired Salane's number, and Paul Kariya wasn't even in the building for the ceremony. And I think there's been a gradual push to try and get him back in the mix. And now you look at it, the Ducks are back in the Western Conference Final. What better time with this sort of market being frenzied for hockey? So they did a little promotional video today on social media, and there, lo and behold, was Paul Kariya crossing out the number nine for the amount of wins left until the team would win the Stanley Cup. So it was a real neat thing. It's kind of caught social media and Twitter by storm. And it'll be great to see Kariya back in because, I mean, he had such a storied collegiate career, obviously, the first freshman to ever win the Hobey Baker. He had such a great NHL career that was unfortunately cut short due to concussion issues. It would be great to see him get back in the mix, especially with the Ducks, which is where he really became a superstar.
Mike Alford, NBC Sports Pro Hockey Talk. Mike, always great chatting with you. Thanks for making time for us this afternoon, and enjoy these conference finals.
Will do. Thanks for having me.